Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another half hour of mystery, which is guaranteed to start with a murder and end with the unmasking of its perpetrator. Steering a canny course between those two points will be this week's guest investigators. Antonia Fraser, when not busy with her hugely successful historical books, charts the fortunes of her own television journalist investigator, Jemima Shaw. Antonia is joined in this week's show by Anthony Price, former editor of the Oxford Times and creator of the series of crime novels which feature David Audley and Jack Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. But we need people in our mystery. We need a victim, we need some suspects, we certainly need a murderer. And I'm delighted to say that all of these will be represented by the multiform voices of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right, it's time for a crime. Guest investigators, studio audience and listeners at home, all pin back your ears and listen as Maria reads us the opening to this week's mystery, Death by a Short Head.
If he'd been wearing his racing silks, the effect might have been more dramatic, but the blood still showed up pretty well on his pale cotton sweatshirt. If he'd been wearing his jockey's cap, then there might not have been any blood. But Pat Cuddy's head had been unprotected, and the horseshoe hadn't brought him luck. In fact, it had brought him a series of blows to the skull and made quite a mess. That June Saturday evening, the jockey's small body lay in the yard owned by trainer Jimmy Pinsent, just near the box in which Blue Joke Boy, beaten favourite in the day's big race at Doncaster, contentedly munched his oats. Had the racehorse been able to talk, it could probably have given a blow-by-blow account of the murder. That sadly not being the case, only one fact was certain. Pat Cuddy would never come under starter's orders again.
Thank you very much, Maria. Maybe a little whiff of Dick Francis in the air. Guest investigators, did anything you heard in that paragraph set your thoroughbred nostrils twitching?
Well, I wondered whether the horse could perhaps have been one of those horses which could have talked after all. Perhaps this is the wrinkle of this particular crime.
Or the horse could even have done it. But then he's got to get his shoe off.
Interesting. There may be a grain of truth in what you say, there may not. But don't worry, it's still very early in the investigation. You need more information. So let's catch up with the official police inquiries, which are being led by Inspector Sergeant. He is even now holding a press conference, so we will go and join him.
For a start, we can rule out the idea that the horse might have been the killer, as in the famous Sherlock Holmes case of Silver Blaze. The murder weapon was found at the scene of the crime. It was a single horseshoe, unattached to any equine leg, and it was covered with the victim's blood and hair. So far, it has revealed no fingerprints. Pat Cuddy had spent the afternoon at Doncaster, where he'd had four rides, but no winners, not even on the highly fancied odds-on favourite, Blue Joke Boy. That race was won, incidentally, by the 8-1 shot, Winnie's Gazebo. It is not known why Pat Cuddy had travelled back to the yard that evening. Jimmy Pinsent, himself, the trainer, was in France all weekend for the meeting at Chantilly. However, his wife, Virginia, was there in their house, adjacent to the yard. With her was Blue Joke Boy's owner, Sir Wally Scarborough, the biscuit magnate. Pat Cuddy's body was found by the stable girl and conditional jockey, Tracy Shotton, at about 8:45 on the Saturday evening. Miss Shotton immediately went to the house and told Virginia Pinsent and Sir Wally Scarborough what had happened. Mrs. Pinsent phoned the police. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Inspector. Well, Antonia and Tony, you have a little more to go on. Have any more warning bells sounded for you?
I'm rather interested why Sir Wally Scarborough and Mrs. Pinsent were together at this early hour in the morning.
Well, it's not the morning, it's at the end of the day.
Sorry, I thought it was 8 o'clock in the morning.
No.
And Virginia's husband was in France all day, was he?
He was there for the meeting. Mm-hmm. You still really haven't got enough information. I think it's time that we heard some statements. We'll hear from three of the people involved in the life of the murder victim, and we'll start with his employer's wife, the extremely elegantly dressed Virginia Pinsent, Mrs. Pinsent.
Well, obviously one is deeply upset by the death of someone with a talent like Pat Cuddy's. He was only 26. And, you know, he had a very, very bright future. Yes, my husband retained him as first jockey for the yard, and he's had a lot of winners this season. Many experts tipped him as a potential champion jockey, so a real tragedy, yes. Obviously, yes, I knew him well, because I'm deeply involved in the running of the yard, but, you know, I didn't know him on a social level, no. I mean, Pat may have had a lot of charm, but he was basically just an undereducated Irishman who had a way with horses. Well, whether he had a way with women, I have really no idea. My movements during the day, right, I went to the meeting at Doncaster and drove back after the last race. Oh, good heavens, no. I drove in the Range Rover. I don't go in the horse box. Tracy Shotton and one of the lads would do that. No, I didn't go to the yard. I went to the house. I would have done a round of the horses later, but Sir Wally Scarborough arrived just after I did, and he was in a furious temper about the way Blue Joke Boy had been ridden, and I had to calm him down. And then, of course, Tracy came in with the news of Pat's death, and, well, as I say, it's a real tragedy.
It is indeed. Thank you very much, Mrs. Pinsent. Now, guest investigators, you have 2 minutes to cross-examine the witness.
Mrs. Pinsent,
yes.
What did go on at Doncaster? Why did he lose?
Do you know, I have no idea. Blue Joke Boy was riding extremely well, and I'd watched Tracy Shotton, who's a marvellous little rider. I'd watched her ride him, and he was really on top form. But, you know, horses are unpredictable beasts, as I'm sure you're well aware, and he must have just been having an off day.
I take your word for it about horses, but what about jockeys?
No, Pat was a marvellous jockey, and really, we had such high hopes for him, and apart from anything else, you know, we're furious that he no longer will be riding for us.
So it surprised you, did it, that Sir Walter was so angry?
Well, you know what owners are like, you know, and I don't know what his betting was like for that day, you know, we don't inquire, but maybe he had a lot of money on or some such.
You've known him for a long time, have you?
Quite a while, yes. We've trained a few of his horses, yeah.
Had you spoken to Pat after the races? Did you stick to him?
Not at all, no. As I say, I drove back in the Range Rover and left them to come back with Tracy.
Thank you very much indeed, Mrs. Pinsent. We now move on to our second statement, which is given by the wealthy biscuit magnate and racehorse owner, Sir Wally Scarborough.
Not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but I'm still bloody furious with the way Pat Cuddy rode Baloo Joke Boy. Horse was in great form, been trained for the race, rest were rubbish, should have walked it. Yes, I did lose money. Well, precise amount's not your business, but had a substantial wager on Baloo Joke Boy. Put it on some months ago and got 14-1. Since he started at 11-8 on, you can imagine I was pretty gutted. I saw the horse working on the gallops only a couple of days ago. That young girl, Tracy Shotton, was up, and he was going like a rocket. Pat Cuddy must have been bribed to hold the horse up. No other explanation. I made my money in biscuits, and I can always recognise a half-baked effort. I was also bloody angry that Jimmy Pinsent wasn't at Doncaster when I think of the money he's had from me in training bills. Oh, yes, I agree. Virginia was there. They've got that many horses in training. You don't often see the pair of them at the same meetings. I've no idea what the state of their marriage is, no. I'm very seriously considering my position, and I think it's likely I'll take Baloo Joke Boy to another trainer. What? No, and my relationship with Virginia Pinsent is purely professional. So, her husband was away, and I was alone in the house with her. So, if I ever fancied anything extramarital, it'd be with something a lot younger than that. I was giving a Virginia a piece of my mind about the way Pat Cuddy had ridden my bloody horse. That's what I was doing. No, I didn't see the jockey after I got to the yard, nor the girl, Tracy Shotton, until she arrived with the news that he was dead. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sir Wally, but if you'd be so kind as to wait just a couple of minutes, I'm sure our guest investigators have a few questions they'd like to put to you. Tony, would you like to kick off?
Tracy Shotton. She's a... you know her quite well, do you? She rides well.
Well, I don't know her particularly well, no, but I saw her, as I say, on the gallops up on Baloo Jaw Boy, riding him like a dream she was.
And you didn't actually talk to Pat Cuddy at all, then?
Oh, not that day, no, I didn't. Mind you, if I had, I'd have given him such a piece of my mind, I can tell you. But
now,
I didn't know.
You actually mentioned bribery. You feel that... that the race was thrown?
If you've got a good horse, and the going is good for him, and the only thing that's different there is the jockey, he must have been pulling him back.
I'm just looking at another possibility. Supposing you'd also had another bet, which involved the horse not winning. Now, that would be a secret bet, and only one person would know about your instructions. That would be Pat Cuddy. So if you'd done that, it would have been quite useful at someone, not, of course, suggesting you, but somebody hit him with that lucky or unlucky horseshoe.
As far as I'm aware, I don't think it's possible to place a bet on a horse not to win. I don't know if you can go to Ladbrokes and say, I'd like to bet on Lucky Lad not to win the 4:30 at Uttoxeter. So I don't know quite how that works out. What was the rest of your allegation? I was mesmerised for the moment there by your lovely voice.
Thank you very much, Sir Wally. I think you can bet on anything. I'm not saying the structure of the bet was exactly what I said, but
right,
I'm saying someone had a vested interest in seeing that Blue Joke Boy, that fine horse, didn't win.
Well, that may be so, madam, but it certainly wasn't me. I mean, I owned that horse. That horse cost me an enormous sum of money. The prize money would have been very, very welcome, I can tell you, and pride's at stake as well. No man likes to see his horse come in second, let me tell you. No man.
Thank you very much, Sir Wally. And we move on to our third statement, which was given by the stable girl who looked after Blue Joke Boy, Tracy Shotton.
I'm really gutted about Pat being dead. I mean, he was so talented, really. You know, great jockey with the right horse. Not the Blue Joke Boy was the right horse for him, you know. Pat could be a bit brutal. Blue Joke Boy wanted more sensitive handling. Yeah. Well, all right, I think the horse would have won at Doncaster if I'd been on him. Blue Joke Boy was perfectly fit after the race, yeah. Well, I've always been mad on horses. School, well, bonking off from school all the time, going down the local stables, you know. Can't hardly read or write, but anything to do with horses, you know, I'm ace. Yeah, I'm a conditional jockey now. I think I could do very well, yes. And being with Jimmy Pensense, it's very good news, you know. I've had a few winners for him. Yeah, I suppose I will get more rides now that Pat's dead. You're sorry, Mr. Britt. I'd just been settling some of the horses for the night when I found Pat's body. Lots of blood. It was obvious he was dead. No, I didn't know he was even in the yard that evening. I hadn't seen him since I left Doncaster. So Wally Scarborough, yeah, he liked the way I rode Blue Joke Boy on the gallops. I wouldn't like to get on the wrong side of him. He's got a real vicious temper. Mrs. Pinsent? No, I didn't have a lot to do with her, more with Jimmy. Well, there were rumours about her. You know, like she was a bit friendlier with some of the jockeys than maybe she should have been. With Pat, I don't know, but he was around a lot, so they would have had opportunities, wouldn't they? Pat and me, well, I liked him. I don't deny it. Now that he's... Oh, sorry, I've got to go and muck out some stables now.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Shotton. If you could just defer your mucking out for a moment. I'm sure the muck will still be there. Guest investigators, you have 2 minutes of supplementary questioning to Tracy Shotton, but be gentle with her. Antonio, you start.
I do want to be very gentle with you because this has been a terrible shock. I gather from what you said that you were really quite close to Pat, and so it's an additional personal shock.
I know, he was really training me up well, you know. He was teaching me how to ride real proper.
And was that the only thing he was teaching you, Tracy?
He said he wanted to teach me to read, but, you know, because I didn't really go to school that much, but...
Reading's one thing, and it's a very fine ambition for someone like you, and I hope you achieve it. But what about what's generally known, and when you start reading books, you'll find there's a lot about it in books, the arts of love.
Love? Oh, well, not with Pat Cuddy, no. I'm only 17, and so I've got plenty of time for that.
Tony?
I'm just a little surprised that you didn't go to see Blue Joke Boy as soon as he came back. You went much later on, didn't you?
Yeah, I go and get change from the races, and then I come down maybe about, I don't know, half an hour afterwards.
So you didn't go to see this horse you adored, which had just done very badly in a race?
Well, I know it'd still be there, you know. Not going to go nowhere, was he?
You didn't feel that he needed comforting after his failure?
I comfort him later on, yeah, I did.
But Pat Cuddy went to see the horse, obviously, because he was found in the stable, wasn't he?
That must have been there because he was dead then, wasn't he?
Did you touch the body at all?
No, I didn't touch him. I know he was dead, sir.
It was obvious, was it? There was a lot of blood around, was there?
There was a lot of blood.
Did any get on your clothes?
No, sir.
No blood on your clothes at all?
Well, I had a nosebleed on the way back from Doncaster, but it's a thing I get, sir, when I get a little bit stressed out. I always get nosebleed.
So you were, when you actually went to report the murder, you actually had blood on you then, did you?
Yeah, but you know they do them forensic tests, don't they? They'll say it's my own blood, sir.
But if you had blood on you, you said you changed. You came back and changed.
Oh, yeah, I changed my bottom bits, but I just kept on my tops.
Covered in blood?
Well, look, I didn't have that much of a nosebleed, sir.
Well, it usually falls on the top half rather than the bottom half, doesn't it? I just can't work out your clothing arrangements.
Thank you very much, Miss Shotton. Tony and Antonio, you've now had three statements. You have a lot more information. Has it moved on your thinking about who might have committed this appalling murder?
Well, I haven't seen the forensic reports.
That's true.
And I would place a lot of credence on them.
You would?
I'm still remain very interested about all this betting.
Right, you feel there could be...
I don't know if Pat Cuddy was betting. I mean, as jockeys sometimes do. I don't know
they
whether do. It's legal.
It's but not legal.
No, well, that's an area I feel we'd like to explore.
Mm, yes. Well, obviously, further explanation and exploration is required. I can't say yet whether you're right or wrong, but I do think that you... Ah, excuse me, that is my pager. And I see from looking at it that we have a message from Inspector Sargent. Apparently some new evidence has emerged, so we will go straight over to the inspector.
Thank you. We have been conducting a detailed search of the Pinsent premises and found some items which may have a bearing on the case. In the room occupied by Miss Tracy Shotton, we discovered a fragment of a letter written by the late Pat Cuddy, which my colleague WPC Bobby, who's gifted in the reading department, will now read for you.
But I met someone else who I really care about, and so our relationship must end. We had some good times, but it was never more than a bit of a laugh, and I never really liked your renewal. That's all there is, sir.
Oh, thank you, Bobby. The other significant discovery was in the dead man's locker. £10,000 in used 20s. We feel this may have some bearing on an interview we conducted with an employee of a major bookmaker's, which ran as follows.
Well, normally, of course, all transactions with our clients are like confidential, but since this is a police investigation, I will tell you that a £10,000 bet was placed on the race by one of our major credit clients. No, it was not put on the favourite Blue Joke Boy, but on the eventual winner, Winnie's Gazebo. I shouldn't really reveal the client's name. Oh, all right, then. It was Wally Scarborough.
Well, those revelations do rather change the situation, don't they? Guest investigators, has this new evidence made things clearer for you, or has it just muddied the waters even further?
Well, it's, of course, what I suspected all along, so that it seems to me that Wally Scarborough now has quite a strong motive.
Yes.
Horseshoeing the unfortunate jockey, don't you think, Tony?
Yes, it's just a question whether he was in it alone, really.
Yes.
Right. Because I must say I'm still a bit worried about all those bloodstains.
Well, in the light of the new evidence, you now have the opportunity to call back each of the three people who made statements earlier, and each of you can ask them one question only. Who would you like to call back to the stand first?
Bearing in mind what Tony said about... Was he in it alone? Could we have Mrs. Pinsent back?
Yes, Mrs. Pinsent. Would you be so kind?
Thank you.
Mrs. Pinsent, were you the new lover of Pat Cuddy who'd caused him to drop Tracy?
No. Absolutely not. I never mixed with the stable boys. Only in a professional sense.
Tony.
Were you at all aware that there was big money riding on against your horse?
Had absolutely no idea.
There was no effect on the odds.
That really does, you know, change things awfully, doesn't it? The fact that it was Wally, of course, you know, I mean, really does point the finger of suspicion to him.
Right. Who would you like to call next?
Tracy,
would you be kind enough? One question each to Tracy.
Tracy, it's a question of this letter from Pat Cuddy saying that though you'd had good times, and I'm sure they were very good, he was moving on to someone else. Did you suspect that person might be Mrs. Pinson?
No, I didn't really know that. Sorry, I'm so upset because I loved Pat. I loved Pat. And Pat used to write me lots of letters, but I can't never read them, so I just had to look at them. I'm sorry. I loved him.
I think before I break down, Tony, do you have a question for Tracy?
No, I have no questions for this witness.
Would you now like to call Sir Wally?
Yeah.
Wally, would you come to the stand, please?
Are you aware now that £10,000 has been found in used £20 notes in Pat Cuddy's locker?
Aye, apparently so, yes.
And you don't know anything about this?
Oh, certainly not. I did not give Pat Cuddy any money at all. Oh,
although
no.
You were betting on the horse that actually won the race?
Yes, that is true. Yes, I was, yes.
So it does seem very... Somebody was paying Pat Cuddy a very large sum of money to bring about something that you wanted to have happen.
Well, of course, the £10,000, he may have sold a second-hand escort. We don't know. We don't know what the money was from, of course.
I think, Tony, you have extended the definition of one question way beyond its traditional parameters.
Yes, I was extending it from the previous witness.
You were, I see. Antonia, do you have one question for Sir Wally Scarborough?
Sir Wally, are you still going to take Blue Joke Boy away from the Pinsent stable? Have you rethought that at all?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I am still going to take Baloo Joke Boy to another trainer. You see, there's money. I mean, I did bet on Winnie's Gazebo, and I won quite a packet on that, but there's pride as well. There's sport as well. And a man wants to win. You want to win in the biscuit world, you want to win in the racing world. And I want that horse to fulfil its potential. So I think you can do that best at another trainer, so I'm whipping that horse out of there sharpish.
Thank you very much, Sir Wally. Have to stop you there. Well, guest investigators, I'm sure you'd like a lot more information, but that is all you're getting. And armed with the sparse information that you have, you must now commit yourselves to an answer to the great whodunit question. You don't have to agree about this, but I want to know who each of you believe was the murderer of Pat Cuddy. Tony, who would you point the finger at?
I feel that Sir Wally, unpleasant in most respects, though he undoubtedly is, had no actual reason to kill Pat Cuddy.
Right.
He'd given him the money. Mm-hmm. If he killed him, the money was bound to turn up.
Yes.
And with the details about his own betting, he's going to be ruined anyway.
Yeah.
So he has a positive reason not to kill Pat Cuddy. Virginia Pinsent is too hideously boring to commit a crime. And this leaves me with Tracy. She's an exceptionally stupid girl, so
yes.
She might consider the fact that Pat Cuddy had not ridden Blue Joke Boy properly, and he'd done it for a bad reason. That is, if she knew about the money, but I don't think she probably did. But they could well have had a tiff. She'd fallen out of love, and now she wanted to get rid of him into the bargain, so that she had probably inside straight with the missing Jimmy Pinsent, who rather fancies her, I suspect.
Right, well, thank you. So, Antonio, do you go along with that?
No, you see, I think Virginia Pinsent has hidden fires. And I think that she's in a very difficult situation. We don't know where her husband's gone. She's been left in charge of the shop, and to put it mildly, everything has got rather messed up. The great horse has not won. Wally Scarborough's furious. She has good reason, I think, to know that Pat Cuddy was rather crooked. I think her relationship with him has been close and possibly still is close. She said too many times that she didn't mix with the staff and, you know, all the rest of it. I didn't believe any of that. So I think that she actually was jealous of Tracy, and she thought that Pat Cuddy was also doing down the business. So I think that, in fact, it was her, all by herself. She has got a very good opportunity. She comes back by herself. Mm. And she's the only person who seems to me to have had the opportunity and the motive.
Very interesting. And who knows? You might be right. We're about to find out as we hear this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. It is a June evening at Jimmy Pinson's yard, and jockey Pat Cuddy is talking to a horse.
There, Blue Joke Boy, don't you worry. You'll win next time out. And think of the odds we'll get. So, we did the business, didn't we? No complaints?
No complaints? Not that you'd know that from the earful I've just been giving Virginia.
Do you have the money, Sir Wally?
Of course. 10 grand, as per agreement.
As per agreement. Thank you. Just put it safely away. Hey, that'll be good as a first instalment.
First instalment? What do you mean?
I recorded our earlier conversation about the deal. I've got the tape. Tabloids get hold of that could ruin your career, couldn't it, Sir Wally?
What about your career?
I think both our careers can be just fine, so long as you keep up the regular payments to me. I've written out my terms in this letter. Take it.
Yeah, very well. And after the way you rolled Blue Joe, boy, you'll never ride for me again.
It was just bad luck. The horse had an off day.
Yeah, nothing compared to the off day you'll be having, Pat Cuddy. Just watch your back, because I'll be coming to get you.
Pat, we've got to talk.
Oh, don't worry about him, Virginia. Owners can never understand why their horses don't perform on the day.
I didn't mean about that.
God, there's Tracy coming now. Shh.
I'll check the horses. We'll talk later.
Yeah, all right, Virginia.
Right.
What are you doing with that horseshoe?
I'm not sure. I might be using it to bash you over the head.
Oh?
If you haven't done what you said you was going to do...
Oh, I've done it. I wrote her a letter, and I told her I'd met someone else.
Oh, darling. In that case, I'll hang this horseshoe over our bed to see that we stay lucky all through our married life.
That will be lucky, Tracy. Don't forget, I've got the luck of the Irish.
Well, here's the horseshoe to give you even more. I love you so much, Pat.
And I love you. Hey, shall we be off up to your room now, Tracy?
I just got a couple more stables to muck out, and then I'm all yours.
Well, you sure know how to turn a man on.
Yeah, I thought you might be back. So, you've read the letter. Those are my terms, I'm afraid. There's no way I'm going to change me mind.
Really? I wouldn't mind about you breaking off our relationship, Pat, for someone worthwhile. But for that common little slut...
Tracy and I are going to live together forever.
Under this happy horseshoe?
Yes.
I don't think so, Pat. Because I'm going to kill you. And I'll plant that letter you sent me in Tracy's room so she'll take the rap for your murder.
It won't work. I'll...
Take that!
Oh, get...
And that!
Out for the love of some...
And that! But... Remember... You're playing for high stakes when you mess with Virginia Pinsent.
So, there you have it. Once again, the fury of a woman scorned. Still, I think Dick Francis can rest easy in his bed. Tony, commiserations, but Antonia, excellent. I mean, you got the right perpetrator and almost the complete motivation.
I knew she wasn't boring.
Anyway, like poor Pat Cuddy, another foul play bites the dust. My thanks, as ever, go to the many voices of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And also to this week's perceptive and percipient guest investigators, Antonia Fraser and Anthony Price.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.